Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Welcome back. We're in a new You, the Owner's Manual podcast. This is number, guess what number it is? It's 829 for release on 30717. So if you're listening to this on March 7th, hopefully you've had a chance to look at Age Proof, Living Longer Without Running Out of Money or Breaking a Hip, our new book by Gene Shatsky and myself, really well received. But on 828, podcast 828, we talked to the author of another new book, The Cheese Trap. So I'm going to talk a little bit about both The Cheese Trap by Neil Barnard and Age Proof, because Gene Shatsky, who is the co-author on Age Proof, was my guest and did a sensational job. You want to listen to her. She is the finance editor of the Today Show, but in addition, actually, she's the finance ambassador as well of AARP, so she helps people retire wealthy, and I help them retire with all of their hips, knees, and other organs intact, and together we hope we help you become age-proof. So I'll talk a little bit about age-proof in the middle of the show, but right now I'm going to tell you who our upcoming guests are. So we're going to talk also about the top news stories of the week. Red meat, if you didn't have enough reason to decrease your red meat eating, it increases diverticulitis risk 58%. That's not a small increase. And, if you will, the other top stories of the week. Well beyond wellness, most people unaware of key heart health facts. We just finished Heart Health Month. I'm going to see if you got smarter with it. Reduce dementia 50%. Yes. How do you do it? Well, there are two ways of doing it. One is by doing speed of processing games, and the other is living farther from the freeway. False positive mammograms is another story that results are associated with you delaying subsequent mammograms. Don't do it. Licorice during pregnancy tied to problems in children. The global cost of smoking is nearly 2% of our total worldwide economy, much higher in us, the wealthier areas. Soccer headers. Do you know how many soccer headers the average 18 to 24-year-old amateur soccer player does in a week? Believe it or not, in the two-week period, well, I'm going to tell you that later. I'm going to make you listen for a little bit longer to tell you how long it is because there are a lot of concussions. Kids' heart defects weigh on parents' mental status. For how long? We'll tell you. Hormone blockers can prolong life if prostate cancer reoccurs. And five scientists discover the gene that decides how tall you are and why that matters. This is podcast 829, is that right? This is podcast 829 of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD and iHeart. My favorite podcast recently was Gene Shatsky on 825 and 824 and 825. You can listen to them, 824 and 825 with Gene Shatsky. Why? Because she gave a great synopsis, better than I can do, of our book. Let me quote one of the things she said. What is the link between health and wealth was the question one of you asked, and we'll tell you about the other upcoming guests, so you can email us questions for them on udocs, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com, y-o-u-d-o-c-s at gmail.com. We asked her about the link between health and wealth, and she said, you're living much longer, and you're more and more dependent on ourselves to retire with enough resources. As you accelerate through life, the day-to-day drudgery often means that you put off taking care of or ignore the two most important things you need to pay attention to for a long and vibrant life. Excuse me. Your health and your wealth. The two things you want most, you want to live long and with enough money to do the things you want to do and still be able to remember where you put it. You want your body to be strong and your family to be secure. You want to age so that you are in control of your destiny. You want power over your life and the freedom and the energy to enjoy your passions. You want to be age-proof. That's what our book is about, she said. Yes, far too few people are planning for the inevitable reality that we're living longer and taking steps to get themselves the assets and body to do so. Wealth without health, it's not going to last. Your physical problems will wreak havoc on your bank account. Health without wealth, maybe while you're young, but when you age, you'll need more resources to keep you that way. Being age-proof is about living, is about longevity. Living strong and secure in your whole life, she said. Now, don't think that mastering the two disciplines means adding more and more items to your to-do list. That's the thing. It doesn't. As our book will show, becoming age-proof, philosophically and strategically, is a matter of taking the same approach to both. In fact, 90% of people don't spend time thinking or talking about financial longevity. That's frightening, because when you either run out of money or lose your anatomic and biologic juice, you're simply up a river without a paddle, and you wouldn't have the money to buy a paddle or the body to use it, even if you did. So that's what she talked about. That's in podcasts 824 and 825. Let me tell you who's coming up. By the way, last week's podcast, the great Neil Barnard, that was released on 228. That was podcast 828. He wrote, he talked about The Cheese Trap, a wonderful book he released. 830, coming up on March 21st, is Edwin Posadas, who's the director of oncology at UCLA. He'll talk about an easy way to diagnose cancer that's now being done at UCLA. It's called a blood biopsy. All it is taking blood and looking in the blood for specific proteins that indicate what type of cancer you have, be able to screen for it. And we'll talk to him about how easy it will be to screen for cancer and how soon that's going to be available. Coming up in a week after that, on March 28th, is the wonderful book author Michael Osterholm and Mark Olshacker. They wrote about our war against germs, the history of it, and why we're going to have to go back to plants and figure out how to get plants, if you will, their products, because it was plant products, because the plants do protect themselves against bacteria and viruses. On 4-4, April 4th, Isabella Wentz is going to talk to us about thyroid disease and Hashimoto's and her protocol. I'm going to ask her whether it should have helped. That's what we should have done with Oprah, who had Hashimoto's. Meredith Wadman, author of The Vaccine Race, is going to be here on April 11th, podcast 833. Podcast 834 for 418. You won't want to miss this one, by Nobel Prize winner Elizabeth Blackburn, The Telomere Effect. She will actually be the fifth Nobel Prize winner we've had on our podcast. And then the week after her, on 425, The Toxin Solution, Hidden Poisons in the Air, Water, Food, and Products, and What to Do About Them, How to Avoid Them. And then one of my favorites, again, because we've had him before, just like we've had Neil Barnard before, on 5217, Andy Weil, Mind Over Medicines, Know When Drugs Are Necessary, When Alternatives Are Better, and When to Let Your Body Heal on Its Own. We'll talk about all those. Great guest lineup. I've got to thank our incredible producer. What's her name? Donna Gould. Our incredible producer for lining those up. Let's talk about the top news stories of the week. I've talked about enough other stuff so far. The top news stories of the week: red meat increases your diverticulitis risk, not a little bit, 58%. So what do we know about red meat? Well, red meat contains carnitine, which changes the bacteria inside your gut, which produces inflammation in you, and over the long term, it produces kidney failure, as well as arterial hardening, high blood pressure, cancer it allows in because it inhibits your immune system from getting rid of it, and brain rot, as well as the specific diseases of prostate cancer and breast cancer. But this also, new study in 46,600, health professionals looked at the cases of diverticulitis. And what they found is unprocessed red meat, especially, that is just regular old red meat that you eat in hamburgers and hot dogs, not even hot dogs, hamburgers and steaks, etc., was, in fact, the every daily serving of it increased your risk of diverticulitis 18%. And for the average person who eats red meat, it increased the risk 58%. Woo! That's a big number. So that's one thing. Another reason, if you didn't have enough reasons to avoid cancer, to avoid heart disease, to avoid brain rot, to avoid breast cancer if you're a woman, or prostate cancer if you're a man, well, you got another one, diverticulitis. If you got diverticulitis, it isn't the nuts that you cut out. They don't actually increase it. What is it that you should cut out? You got it right. It is red meat. Unbelievably, it's not the things that physicians thought it was. They always thought it was nuts. There's never been a case of a nut causing prostate cancer, believe it or not, causing diverticulitis. There probably hasn't been one of causing prostate cancer either. Okay. Reduce dementia 50%. What do you do it? Well, you do speed of processing brain games. This was a large study that we've talked about in the past, but there's a second way of decreasing dementia 50%. I don't think adding the two of them together will reduce it 100%, but they will both reduce it. Over the 10-year period, doing 18 hours, just 18 hours over 10 years, that's kind of like 2 hours a year. But in fact, they did 10 hours in the first month, 2 hours a week for 5 weeks, and then 4 hours in month 11, and 4 hours in month 35, 48% reduction in dementia by doing speed of processing. What was the game? It was BrainHQ.com's game called Double Decision. I'm going to give you some sneak secret. If you go to ubrain.science, we put one up on our website for free that does speed of processing. We have no data that says it's as good as BrainHQ's game Double Decision. I do Double Decision, and I do the ubrain.com. But we have it's another speed of processing game. There are many of them, but speed of processing games, 48% over 10 years. What else? Living farther from a freeway. That's right. Women who lived in areas with a high concentration of particulate matter in this study of women aged 65 to 79, high concentration of PM2.5, had a 68 to 91% greater risk for cognitive decline and all-cause dementia. Excuse me. All-cause dementia than those with the lowest exposure. Sounds like I got some exposure to particulates. But among women who, in the study with the highest exposure, the data is that women who lived in the highest concentrations of particulate matter, which are those who live near a freeway, had more than a 50% increase in dementia compared to those who lived a mile away from a freeway. So easy way of preventing dementia, live further away from a freeway and in an area with low particulate matter. You can go and just Google particulate matter on the Google and find out what the particulate matter in your area is. We're thankful for the Environmental Protection Agency because they've helped lower particulate matter in the entire country. One of the big things, and I'm going to say it, even though probably the coal miners won't want to hear it, is getting rid of coal-fired power plants. There is no such thing that we know of as clean coal, and it may not cause global warming, but it does cause particulate matter release, which actually increases your risk of dementia. Another thing that causes particulate matter release, a wood-burning stove or wood-burning fireplace. Looks beautiful, right? Don't do it because it increases your risk of dementia. That's a big deal. No way around it. It's a big deal. So avoiding playing speed of processing games and avoiding the coal-fired power plants and avoiding particulate matter, great thing. False positive mammograms are associated with a delay in the subsequent mammogram, a study shows. That's right. Women skip recommended mammograms after they get a false positive. In fact, 85% of women who got a clean bill of health on a mammogram came back as scheduled the next time, compared to a much lower rate who got a false positive mammogram. So no matter what your mammogram result is, come back. It really does help save lives. Licorice during pregnancy tied to problems in children. This is an amazing study to me because it is pregnant women want to avoid licorice because the cognitive problems in their children. Licorice is a sweetener derived from the root of the licorice plant and is used to flavor candies, soft drinks, herbal teas, and other products. Pills and supplements contain concentrated licorice are also a popular herbal remedy, but don't have it. Why? Because at age 13, compared with those mothers who ate the least licorice, those whose mothers who consumed the most averaged 7 points lower on the IQ test. The reason? It was thought that that licorice contains things which stimulate a cortisol or a abnormal adrenal response. So avoid licorice during pregnancy. What should you have during pregnancy to boost your kid's IQ? That is prenatal vitamins as the best thing. Prenatal vitamins with, in fact, one of the things you want in the prenatal vitamins, guess what it is? You want DHA. So DHA in the prenatal vitamins, so take them 3 months before you get pregnant, since prenatal multivitamins 3 months beforehand decrease autism risk by 40%, decrease cancer risk in offspring up to age 66 by 65%, and decrease all congenital defect, big and small, by 85%. Bad study, this one, bad because of what it says. The WHO looked at the cost of smoking. Now, we spend a lot of money on smoking, but in fact, the cost of smoking causes us in medical expenses a total of 2% of our GDP. That's right. If all you said, if you cut out smoking, you'd have 2% more to spend on everything else. What would that mean in the United States? Well, if you say smoking costs in the United States, it's more. It's actually around $400 billion a year is spent on smoking-related illnesses. That's what we'd have more to spend. Soccer headers are tied to concussive syndromes is another story that we want to talk about. In this, adult players, and this is 222 people, it wasn't a large study, but they looked at 222 amateur soccer players between the ages of 18 and 25. How many headers do you think the people who were in the top quarter of people? So a quarter of people averaged 125 headers or more in a two-week period. The lowest quartile, even the lowest quartile, is 4 headers in 2 weeks. The average was 44 headers. Believe it or not, those that were in the largest quartile had an odds ratio of a concussion more than 3 times greater than the average. Of course, most problems with concussions during soccer are a head-on-head or a knee to the head. Those are the injuries. But in fact, 50% of concussions after soccer were due to headers. Only 50% due to body-to-body collisions. What's the sport for women with the most concussions other than cheerleading? Take a moment to think about it. It is, we've mentioned it before, it is synchronized swimming, because the women who practice this, in practice, in getting things right, they give each other kicks in the heads, etc. So if I was going to say to my son or daughter, what should avoid? Well, don't avoid playing soccer, but do avoid doing the headers in soccer. It's the aggregate effect of repeated impacts that may be important, independent of the force of the individual effect. So avoid a lot of headers. And if you get a header and get a concussion or feel a little woozy afterwards, don't play till you're back to normal, and do take a lot of DHA. Next story I want to talk about is kids' heart disease defects weighs on parents' mental status. I'm hoping Sonar is still there and I'm still connected. So if I'm not, Sonar, give me a call. And if I am, tell me we're connected. It's strange when you're doing a podcast and you don't know if you're still connected, but I think I am still connected. So hopefully all is going well, Sonar. And if not, hopefully we'll get to repeat this show. But the kids' heart defects weigh on parents' mental status. 83% of parents have traumatic syndrome if their child has to undergo a major operation, and 25% of parents still have post-traumatic stress disorder 6 months later, and even 3 to 5 years later. So what it means is, we should be doing, if you find a family whose child has to undergo a major operation, do what you can to ease their stress, take it up, help them with care, help them with cooking, be a real buddy to them. I want to cover one more, at least one more story in a big way, and that is the hormone therapy data. We've worried about testosterone and heart disease, and we've worried about estrogen promoting cancer and heart disease, and even testosterone promoting prostate cancer in men. Well, the new data that's come out for both hormone therapy in women and testosterone in men shows there is a risk, but that risk is ablated, is overwhelmed by the benefit if you take 2 baby aspirin a day. Now, we used to say take 2 baby aspirin at once. We now think you should take 1 baby aspirin in the morning, 1 baby aspirin in the evening. That's new data, brand new this week. But in addition, it looks like in the data out from the Journal of the American Medical Association, from a number of places with large studies on testosterone, and the data that's accumulated over the last 3 years on hormone replacement therapy done with bioidentical estrogens and a non-acetated progestin. So I said a bunch of things. You want prometrium as your estrogen. That is a estrogen that isn't acetated, a progesterone that isn't acetated, and you want estrogen that's bioidentical, and a testosterone in a cream form as well, or an ointment form, but those look like they decrease overall heart disease risk, they decrease brain aging, and they improve your overall quality of life in these studies that are recently out. So I'm going to talk more about that in next week and the week after's podcast. But for now, think about and talk about it. And you may want to talk to your physician also about going on or starting a bioidentical estrogen and progestin if you're a female, and testosterone if you're a male, and feel like you're getting old or don't have the energy, vitality, the muscle strength you used to have, or you're worried about brain rotting. These look like they may be better. We don't have quite enough data to recommend them to everybody, but that's what I'd like to talk about in the future. Who's coming up? Well, we talked about Age Proof and Gene Chatsky on podcast 824 and 825. Coming up in 836 on May 2nd, Dr. Andy Weil, Mind Over Meds. On 425, April 25th, Dr. Joseph Pizzarno, The Toxin Solution, What to Do About Hidden Poisons in the Air, Water, Food, and Products, and How to Protect Yourself. The Telomere Effect by Nobel Prize winner Elizabeth Blackburn on 418, April 18th. That's podcast 834. Definitely something you'll want to listen to because that's really a great one. By the way, our book, Age Proof, has been released. It's doing sensationally, as you probably know. But Age Proof, Living Longer Without Running Out of Money or Breaking a Hip, we do talk about telomeres and the work of Elizabeth Blackburn, but we'll hear from her directly on April 18th on podcast 834. 833, Meredith Wadman, author of The Vaccine Race, Science, Politics, and the Human Cost of Defeating Disease. This is the story of the war against disease and the development of vaccines. On 4-4, April 4th, we have Elizabeth Wentz talking about Hashimoto's protocol, how to treat yourself, and how to prevent, if you will, Hashimoto's disease from getting to you with thyroid disease. And on March 28th, that's 3/28, we're going to have our deadliest enemy, the war against germs. That's in podcast 831. And on 3/21, not a book, but we're going to talk to Dr. Edwin Posadas, who's the director of oncology at UCLA, about blood biopsies and advances in diagnosing cancer. Why am I talking to you about all of these and upcoming? It's because you can email us questions. We will ask your questions, just like we did for Neil Barnard on the podcast released on 2/28. That was podcast 8/28, his book, The Cheese Trap. And you asked us questions about what cheese substitutes we should say. His favorite, I'm going to give you a secret, is, maybe I'll make you listen to the, no, I got to tell you, it's avocado is a great substitute because it's a healthy fat and it is healthy and great tasting and will help you lose weight, according to Neil Barnard. And he really does write a great book. So you've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast on Radio MD and iHeartRadio. Thank you for listening. We will be back in a couple of weeks with another podcast, number 830, and our special guest that week as well. In the meantime, thanks for listening. And Sonar, thanks for usual great engineering. I hope you're still here.